It's time to get unfiltered and unfettered.
All right, and welcome to Unfiltered and Unfettered, episode 6. Fran, good evening.
Good evening. Six. That's 12 weeks. We go every other week. We broadcast. I mean,
incredible.
I've not spent this much time with anyone in my life.
Well, that's a fact. Fran, a big podcast tonight.
Aren't they all? But it's getting bigger. My man's keeping us busy here out there in North Korea.
We're going to get to that. We got your political analysis and your commentary. We got your controversial topics. We got your political satire.
Yeah.
We got your pop culture and your flat-out comedy, all wrapped up in one huge, unfiltered, unfettered package.
It's an enigma inside a riddle, wrapped in a conundrum or
something
like that.
As our French listeners might say, it's l'énorme paquet. And they can correct me on my French.
I'm sure they will, if that's what that was.
All right, let's get to it with Shotgun in the News. All right, Fran, first up, I know you're disappointed on Ashley Judd passing on her Senate run.
Crushing blow here. You know, and I could care less one way or the other. I mean, there are certain people in Hollywood certainly could run for office. Clint Eastwood was the mayor in California. You know, Sonny Bono was a very qualified public official. There are people who can do it. She's carrying so much baggage. You know, but she gave the standard, I don't spend more time with my family, blah, blah, blah. But it just would have made for a great race.
And we wasted a what's your pick on her.
Yeah.
I know it.
She owes us for that.
And then she's dropping out.
McConnell would have dusted her, too. But it just would have been a great race. I
mean,
the debates would have been phenomenal. Yeah.
It would have been fun.
That's a bummer.
All right. Baseball season.
Glad it's here, but my boys took... they're probably getting busted right now as we talk, too.
The Phillies took
it in the shorts twice from the Braves. And, of course... We were in Knoxville. This is Atlanta Braves country, so I'm hearing it from friends and neighbors alike.
Well, as you know, I have two teams. I'm a huge Cleveland Indians fan.
My boyhood team, the Miami
Marlins.
I don't even want to hear it. Don't even.
Love them Miami Marlins.
Boyhood team, yeah.
Used to be the Florida Marlins.
Yes, they did, yeah.
Quite the expert
in the
on
the days
them.
Of yore, they used to be the Florida Marlins.
All right. I'm sure we'll get more baseball news as we go on. All right, the FBI making a memo from 1950 titled "Flying Saucers" available to the public. Where's Mulder and Scully when you need them?
I'm never a big Mulder and Scully fan. I don't know. This is in the Bigfoot Loch Ness Monster.
Okay,
which is why you're talking about it.
Let me just say this, my friend.
Yeah, go ahead, say it.
They released an FBI memo of a flying saucer, which I love because it's so old school, right? We're not even talking UFOs here.
Can you see the fishing string hanging from the ceiling?
We're talking 3-foot men. But the FBI historian that commented on this in the news was named John Fox, Fox Mulder. There's no coincidences here.
I thought you were going to say Fox News. All right.
Well.
Okay. Yeah, no, there are no coincidences.
All right. No. Okay, FBI memo. I just dig that stuff. All right, next up, Mark Sanford of, of some embarrassing, took some Appalachian hiking trips in which he traveled to.
He just did what you and your son did and went on the old AT there.
I was getting ready to say, whoa, what do you mean there?
You know, he just went out for a nature walk and came back with a mistress. I mean, you know.
But he was a governor and he's making a comeback in politics to prove... You always get a second chance in America.
It's right. What's the old saying in politics, right? Live boy, dead girl. The only two things that can stop you, right?
Right.
So, he wins the special runoff election in the Republican primary to face off against Stephen Colbert's sister. She's the Democratic nominee
for
the Senate seat. This is...
And just to make clear, he had an affair with a woman, Maria Belen Shapur, while he was married to his lovely wife, Jenny, and found out he'd lied about some trips And while he was lying about those, he went off and was with his mistress. And now she's his fiance.
Right. And he also used campaign funding to get there. And yeah, everyone kind of overlooks that little secret.
That's really the bad part, right? Because we proved during the Clinton administration that sex is none of our business.
Right. Right. Unless you get caught. That's the only time, that's the only time it becomes your business. So, did it interfere with his ability to do the job? Probably not. Other than the fact that he was disappearing for days at a time.
Yeah.
But now he's going to, and their rumor on the street was that Jenny Sanford was on the top of the list to be his campaign manager. So we'll see how that works out.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Okay, and the last up, I don't want to talk about this just because it's of interest to me. It's in my, I deal with some of this in my day job, which I know our listeners probably amazed that I have a day job and that I don't just make a living doing this.
Yeah.
Because
it doesn't cover your expenses.
The bird flu rearing its ugly head again because, and I'm not an expert at this, but I listen to a lot of experts talk about this, and they say it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when the flu virus mutates enough that it can easily make the jump between animal and human, whether it's, you know, the swine flu or the bird flu. And this, the last one, we've had four, I think.
It's four now, up to four.
It's up to four dead.
And maybe more at this point.
And is the H7N9 virus in China. And, of course, the popular one, I don't mean popular one in any normal sense of the word, but the one most of us are familiar with is the H5N1 virus, which has infected more than 600 people since 2003, of which 371 have died. So that's better than 50%.
That's a tough clip, yeah.
When it starts mutating, it's going to be a problem, and I don't say that to be a doomsayer, but it is it's an item of interest to me in my professional life.
So. Well, you know me, I always try and work golf in any conversation, and we had kind of been on a little bit of a hot streak with the bird flu here, and golf courses were telling you on your way out, hey, if you see a bird laying dead in the, don't touch it, just report it to us,
right.
Don't mess with it, just report it, and we'll come out and get it, we have to send it to Atlanta. It's gotten serious. I mean, it's something you definitely need to be keeping an eye on.
It's raising its head again. I've done a lot of my job is developing things for the CDC, people who deal with this kind of stuff. And so, yeah, it's coming back into the forefront. This day in political history, April 3rd, 1995, Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor becomes the first woman to preside over the court, sitting in for Chief Justice William H. Rehnquist, who was out of town at that time with a woman who was not his wife. This leads to a nasty case of syphilis, which unfortunately eventually leads to his death in a lonely D.C. hospital bed. And yes, I did make that last part up. But the first part about Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor becoming the first woman to preside over the court is true. This day in political history, April 3rd, 1995. All right, so Fran, a continuing topic that we've talked about many times, North Korea, our little buddy Kim Jong-un, absolutely going crazy at this time.
Yeah, I mean, the latest, you know, for those of you not aware, the latest thing is they've come out and said that the army, the North Korean army, are the ones who have the final say on a nuclear launch against the United States.
Well, and I'm reading the headline from CNN right now, which says, U.S. says North may launch missile.
Yeah, so I mean, the problem they have right now is, though, that they don't have a warhead they can put on a rocket that can reach the mainland. They're still having the issue of miniaturizing their warheads. And that's a big component of building a nuclear arsenal. They can deliver a bomb, but just not with a payload small enough to put on a rocket. So, the nuclear issue is big. The other issue that I think is as big, as some of the experts I've been reading have said, their cyber attacks on the South, and they're tampering with the monetary issues, which we talked about last podcast, I think.
Well, the North and South had a joint industrial venture that last week the North prevented the South Korean workers from
engaging. That's the harbinger right there. This one guy who's an expert on national security said, if that facility stops running on its normal schedule, that's when you have to get worried. If they either block the South Koreans from coming or they don't come themselves, that's going to be the telltale sign that something may be up. That this is just not the normal. Screw you, South Korea. We're not going to talk to you anymore, which they do every 2 years.
Right.
So this has gotten past that level. I think now people are starting to worry that there's going to be some kind of incident. Don't know what it's going to look like, but that it's not. Is it going to happen? It's an inevitability. The question now is when.
Well, and it, yeah, and it gets closer and closer, right? And that's one of our fears. Okay, so let's go on. Let's talk a little bit about the big topic in the news these days.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court, gay marriage. What's your take, Fran?
I'm one of those people who I guess naively think that this doesn't have to be a moral issue. That this could just strictly be a legal, political one, which is every American should have the right to do what every other American has the right to do. Now, most people, well, I don't know about most people, but a lot of people I know would say, well, you're an idiot because God says it's wrong, therefore you shouldn't do it. God says, well, a lot of stuff's wrong that people do and never seem to have a problem with. But so I don't, to me, if they're American citizens, then they should have the right to do what other American citizens get to do.
Don't disagree with that. But, you know, one of the kind of big issues is a lot of us, myself included, Americans, it's a cultural issue. Let's take morality out of it, right? Whether it's right or wrong. Let's take God out of it. And I hate to say that. I know people will go, well, you know, you're a heathen. I'm not a heathen. Well, I could be. But the point is that culturally, marriage has been valued since, from anything I can tell, it's about the beginning of time. I mean, it's the natural pairing of a man and a woman, you know, tab B, slot A, that kind of stuff. And so, you know, at this point, and I understand the civil rights argument, and I do not disagree. I think if you're an American, and if your name is Dan, and you want to spend the rest of your life putting your Johnny into Bob's backside, that's not my business. I mean, I don't get it, but it's not my business. It's America, and you should enjoy civil rights. But what I really object to is the stigmatism. And, you know, I'm going to quote Rush Limbaugh, which I know is an anathema to us, but only because I read it in CNN. All right, where Rush said we lost the language battle on this. And that's my issue, is that if you have an issue with gay marriage, you're automatically labeled as this. The language issue we're losing is you're labeled as a bigot, a hater, a homophobe. And that's just not true. It's a cultural issue of respect, of understanding that this cuts across race, religion, and everything else.
I
understand the civil rights argument. But there's a cultural issue that the other side refuses to recognize.
And I agree with that, because there's a battle to be taken up there. But you're right. They refuse to accept that cultural issue. But if I was an advocate for that, which I'm not, I'm not going to go stand on a street corner. I have friends. We met same-sex couples in the NICU, and we were there with our daughter for 4 months in the intensive care unit. And I'm not going to go stand on a street corner and picket. Or, I mean, I'm not an advocate.
I'm not either. Regardless of the Supreme Court's decision, I'm going to be a citizen of the United States.
Right. So, but my issue with the cultural business is that it's not something that's valued. Marriage really isn't valued. The divorce rate is,
I think it's irrelevant to the argument. I really do.
But who values marriage? Like, you know what I mean? Like, at what point does pillar stop being a pillar? Like,
well,
you know what I mean? Like,
but it's how you think society is supposed to be. You know, it's the basic building block of society, which I know is mocked, all right? But it's still a cultural meme that is hard to give up, right?
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's along the lines of the gun argument. I don't think you should take everyone's guns. It's just putting them in a part of American culture. It would be impossible to do. So I get that. I get the argument there. The issue I have with it, and this is probably more going back towards people who raise the sanctity argument. I think that's really where my point is aimed more at. Is there really isn't? You'd be hard pressed to find sanctity in the institution of marriage. In individuals' marriages, there can be sanctity. I get that, but the institution itself. I mean, talk about being mocked. I mean, people 3, 4, 5 marriages. I mean. And married in church, white dresses, the whole bit, every time.
Well,
I just,
you know,
don't get it.
They made the argument, like, and Sotomayor said, you know, because and I think they're making the wrong argument when they say it's about procreation, and then they said it's not about procreation. But even Sotomayor said, well, if it's not about procreation, okay, what is the argument against a young man growing up and marrying his mother? Why would that be taboo? And that's not me saying that. That's a Supreme Court justice of the United States.
Doesn't make her right.
But her point is, and it's one of my points for all these types of issues, is once you start moving the line, who determines where the line is now?
Well, That's a great question.
It's not
question.
A spurious argument.
I didn't say it was.
But most people do.
We're going to talk about that actually coming up in Hardcore Politics, but about an individual who made those similar claims and accusations, I guess. The question is, who decides where the line is now? I mean, your question
We've always
is,
decided where the line is. It's a man and a woman.
But there's your problem. I mean, the majority
of
the
problem.
Well, no, but I mean, the problem with that argument is, and I say you're in the colloquial sense of you're, as in you're, as the Americans who hold to that view, well, the line will get moved. Who sets the line? Well, we've always set the line. Well, we, as an American public, pretty much by a 75 to 25 margin, say they should be allowed to get married. So if America's moving the line, then what's the problem, I guess? You know what I mean? Like you say, it's a cultural issue.
75, 25.
Look it up. I mean, you can find different polls that vary.
I don't even believe that. Maybe 75, 25 of the people they're asking.
Well, but that, obviously, of a survey, it's the people they're asking.
You know, there's a silent majority, right? But where are they picking those
people?
Well,
but you know what? If you're going to be a silent majority, then you get what you get. I mean,
well,
that's just the bottom
line.
That's true. You may be right. As a matter of fact, you probably are right. That if you could poll everyone in the U.S., it wouldn't even come in 50-50.
No, it wouldn't.
The problem is everyone in the U.S. is not going to speak up.
Well, and again, it's because we've lost the language issue on it. And because people don't want to be labeled as being a bigot, a hater.
I don't think that keeps everybody home. That definitely affects some people.
Yeah, it does.
Not
Francis,
everybody, no. I mean,
it keeps an overwhelming majority of people.
There's a built-in lethargy to every survey and election. I mean, you can't. There are some people who just don't give a crap, and they're not going to bother with it.
I mean, I've been called a bigot just because I questioned the whole homosexual marriage argument. Like right out of the gate, without even explaining things, it goes right to the name calling.
Well,
right?
I'm in favor of it, and I've never called you that when you brought it up.
You haven't. I mean, you've called me a lot worse, quite frankly. But
well,
never
but that's
me that.
That stuff you deserve. you earned those other things. I would say if you start out questioning it and someone calls you a bigot, well, then that's a person you don't really need to be talking to because they clearly have nothing substantive to say.
But when you take that, on a personal level, that's one thing. But when you take that on a societal level, it impacts. And you know how I am about bias in the media. The media runs our country more than anybody else does, and they're all liberals.
Well, and I would agree with that. I think we're probably singing the same tune on that particular point because if you go back to a post I put on our blog, Force from the Public Square. I mentioned that at the end.
Yeah, you did. Absolutely.
That, you know, if the freedom to have the same rights every other American has comes at the cost of my freedom to speak out against it, well, then I'm going to switch sides.
That's what's happening.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Because someone calls you a bigot, it doesn't keep you from speaking out about
it.
How's it going to stop you from speaking out just because someone calls you a bigot?
It doesn't stop people, but it's losing the language. When you label people a very negative, connotatively, and I know I just mangled that grammar, but a very connotatively negative verbiage of calling, you know, because if you say that you're not in favor of gay marriage, you're labeled as a hater and a fearmonger. Don't tell me that doesn't impact people, Francis, because you know it does.
Well, it does, but does it impact it enough to move the conversation?
Apparently. That's my argument. Mm-hmm.
Because
here's my deal. We're not having an open conversation about this. Because I'll tell you what, I'm in favor, okay, and you and I are both military veterans, and when I served in the United States military, I served for everybody that considered themselves an American, regardless of your sexual preference, your identity, whatever. If you called yourself an American, I'm defending your freedoms. Okay, now that I'm out of the military, I believe that in America, you should be, you know, again, if Bob and Kevin should be able to live together, it ain't my business, okay? But there are cultural issues here that should be discussed without beating people into submission, and that's what's happening.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to argue with that. I'm just not. I just don't know that happens every time the discussion is raised.
All right, well, get ready because I'm going to beat you into submission right now.
Who said that? Who said that?
All right, Fran, we're getting ready to go into Who Said That.
We needed
and,
to. It was heavy. That was heavy. That's the most heavy lifting I've done since I was in the military.
It's some heavy lifting. Let me tell you what, though. I've informally polled about four or five people. You're undefeated in Who Said That.
I'm undefeated?
You're undefeated.
What do you mean?
Nobody did better than 3 out of 5 last time.
You've got to be kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding you. So
let me tell you something. If that's not an indictment of the public school system in America, I don't know what is. If I'm beating people out there.
Well, here we go.
All right, let's go.
Here we go.
Now you're putting pressure. Now I got a record to uphold.
All right. Here's the first quote. Well, it's very simple. We're very happy when we're where we're at, but also wanted to limit the stalkerazzi and all those sleazy websites that are out there following us. And your choices are Dennis Rodman, Tiger Woods, or Kim Kardashian.
Oh, man. I think that would be between Woods and Kardashian. I mean, Rodman has sex with the paparazzi, so he can't be him. I'm going to go with Kardashian.
Tiger Woods, man.
Really?
Tiger Woods on the release of the photo with his... You know, we talked about this in the last podcast.
Right, he had the Facebook prom photos out there, right?
Yeah.
That just seemed like a little harsh, more harsh language than he's used to putting out there in the press. You know, because he's pretty closed-lipped about this.
That was his quote. Okay, right. Okay, you're 0-for-1.
Here we go now, right?
Man.
You just mentioned the record, now I'm going
you could be
for
going
five.
Down. Okay, here's the second one. The report minces no words in telling us what we need to be more inclusive. I agree. Our 80% is not our 20% enemy. And your choices are Mitt Romney, Sarah Palin, Reince Priebus.
Well, it can't be Sarah because there were numbers in the sentence. So it can't be Sarah Palin. Dude, and Mitt Romney doesn't care.
Psycho.
Mitt Romney doesn't care about the percentages or the report. So it's got to be my man, Reince Priebus.
Reince Priebus. All right. You're 1-1. Okay. And here we're going back to it. And this is kind of a historical one. Not, I wouldn't call it historical, but it's not recent. Here we go.
You know I'm a historian, right?
I do know that, yes. The only difference between the Republican and Democratic parties is the velocities with which their knees hit the floor when corporations knock on their door. That's the only difference. And your choices are Ralph Nader, Norman Rockwell, or Anne Heche.
Oh, that's got to be Ralph.
Ralph Nader. That's a softball, dude.
Yeah.
I'm throwing you a softball there. You got to hit that far.
I hit that over to Green Monster, baby.
Okay, we actually got a lot of Mitt tonight. Here's another one. Okay, here's the quote. Mitt Romney talks a lot about all the things he's fixed. I can tell you that Massachusetts wasn't one of them. He's a fine fellow and a great salesman, but as governor, he was more interested in having the job than doing it. And the choices are Deval Patrick, Joe Biden, Ted Kennedy.
Oh, that's Joe Biden.
Deval Patrick.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not.
That's a little bit of a stab in the back, man, because Patrick's kind of touting that Romney care and giving him credit for that. That's a little bit of a shiv to the back by Deval Patrick.
Yeah,
I'm shocked there. All right.
Yeah, I know.
So what am I, 2-2 now? Or
yes.
1-2?
Yeah, you're 1-2.
1-2, all right.
I got one more left for you.
I thought you had five. What?
I gave you two. That was three, and that was four.
Oh, so I'm 2-2.
Yeah, you're 2-2, right. Okay. And here's the last one. In this case, I said something that's just completely wrong. And your choices are Mitt Romney, Jesse Jackson, or Jay Leno.
Okay, it's not Jesse Jackson because he would never admit to anything. Everything that jerkweed has ever said has been 100% correct, according to him.
Oh, good one.
Who was it, Mitt first? Who was the third choice?
Jay Leno.
Another one. He's the Jesse Jackson on late night. He's never done anything wrong either. Big chin jerkweed. So it's got to be Mitt Romney.
Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
All right. So you went 3-for-2.
Was there five? Did I go 3-for-2?
There was five. Let me see. I read you two. I can't believe we're losing count, Fran. This makes us look like unprofessional. I read you two.
We
had the Tiger Woods one.
I missed that.
We had the Reince Priebus one.
I got that.
You got that. Then we had the Ralph Nader. You got that.
Oh, I got that.
The Mitt Romney.
I got Priebus, Nader, and Mitt.
You missed the Deval Patrick one.
Right. And I got the one Mitt said.
So you were 3-2.
Yeah, 3-2.
3-2.
All right. So I'm still above the Mendoza line. That's good.
Still above the Mendoza line. Still undefeated. And who said that?
I now retire as king of who said that.
All right, Francis, where are we going tonight on Hardcore Politics?
We are going back to CPAC. I forget what you called it, but it's the Conservative People Acting Crazy or something. What did you say it was?
Conservative Political Action Committee, Francis.
Right, CPAC. So this is where a group of conservatives get together and they kind of have a little straw poll and kind of feel out who might be the next candidates. And then they talk good speeches to each other, make each other feel good. And
make a lot of speeches.
Yeah, a lot of speeches. Right. And it's all about, hey, yeah, we did get our asses kicked all over the map, but we're going to feel good about ourselves at that meeting, at that conference. It's like a week-long thing. And they're actually...
Americans... taking advantage of their freedom of speech rights.
Yeah, whatever you say.
Yeah.
So there actually are some good speeches. There are good speakers there. I mean, there's some pretty interesting ones. But Reince Priebus, who's the head of the Republican National Committee, got up there and he said, look, man, he basically did the postmortem on the elections, right?
Right.
The Senate thrashing, the congressional thrashing, and of course, a president who gets reelected with 23 million people out of work. So he says, we got to reset, man. We got to rebuild the brand. We got to... you know, we got to change the way we discuss our issues. We don't have to change our issues, but we have to change the way we message our issues. There are going to be blacks. You know, we're going to reach out to blacks, Hispanics. You know, it was basically one of these chicken in every pot speeches. And he seemed sincere about, hey, we don't have to give up our conservative values. We have to change the way we talk about it. We can't be condescending. We can't be derogatory. We can't be offensive because our values stretch across racial lines. There's no reason we're not winning in minority right. communities except yep. for the way we discuss it. So based on that, here's what the gang who couldn't shoot straight have done in the past 2 weeks, 3 weeks since CPAC. I guess it's been 3 weeks or maybe in a month. We'll start with North Dakota Congressman Kevin Cramer. This was at a state meeting on the Effects of Violence Against Women Act will have on the reservations in that part of the country. And yes, there are still Native American reservations in the country. Here is what he had to say. Tribal governments are dysfunctional. Tribal courts are dysfunctional. And how could a non-Native man get a fair trial on the reservations? I would like to wring the tribal council's neck and slam them against the wall. As a non-Native man, I do not feel secure stepping onto the reservation now. Good work there, Congressman Cramer. Then we move on to Dr. Ben Carson. Now, this is a guy I'm actually kind of fond of. Big time conservative, smart dude. I mean, wildly smart. You know, he's up there. He's just up there among some of the smartest people in the country. But as you know, Tony, live TV sometimes can be a tough thing to deal with. Yeah. So he goes on Hannity and he's discussing gay marriage. Now, look, this guy, he's not a politician, right? He's a doctor at Johns Hopkins. This dude is just brilliant. His life actually was turned into a book and a movie. So Cuba Gooding played him in the movie, as a matter of fact. But it looked like he was going to run for president. It looked like he might have been taking a run in 2016. So here he's on Sean Hannity's program on Fox discussing gay marriage. Here's his quote. It's a well-established fundamental pillar of society, and I think you mentioned that already. Now, no group, be they gay, be they NAMBLA, be they people who believe in bestiality, it doesn't matter what they are, they don't have the right to change the definition. Now, here's the problem with that statement, or what people perceive to be the problem. First of all, NAMBLA is the North American Man-Boy Love Association, right? These are people who believe pedophilia is okay. Bestiality, of course, is humans having sex with animals. And he equates that with gay Americans.
Okay.
So people had a problem with that. I think you can understand why, if you were a gay American, you might have a problem with that association. They had a problem with it. I thought he was going to stick to his guns on that and just come out and say, hey, you know what? I was on live TV. My tongue got away from me. I don't believe gay marriage is right. And I still, because if you take the NAMBLA bestiality out of that, that sentence is actually accurate. Like, I mean, there's value in that sentence. No group gets to change the definition of marriage, right? Unless America as a whole decides to change it. So, and that's kind of where he was going, but he kind of let his mouth run away with him. And Priebus had another fit. Then we go to the Republican National Committee chairman from Michigan, Dave Eggema. He posted something on Facebook. You know, social media is just never your friend, right? He's denouncing the lifestyle of homosexuals, calls them filthy. Their lifestyle is filthy. Went on to list a number of statistics about homosexuals, including a claim 50% of suicides can be attributed to homosexuals. I can tell you from a wife who works in the mental health industry, that is the dumbest thing ever recorded in human history about suicide. So again, Priebus, his hair is getting gray as we speak. Then we go to Representative Don Young from Arkansas, Republican. This is my favorite, by the way. He given an interview on local radio station. He was reminiscing about wetbacks working on his father's ranch in California.
Right.
This is not funny, but it is. My father had a ranch. We used to have 50 to 60 wetbacks to pick tomatoes. It takes two people to pick the same amount of tomatoes. Now it's all done by machine. He was actually bemoaning the fact that we've allowed machines to take people's jobs. And somehow he had to refer to them as wetbacks and not just people. He went on to say after the live interview was over that he meant no disrespect. And he knows that today, and this is my favorite part, he knows that today the term is derogatory and offensive, unlike in the 90s when he used it all the time.
Right.
Like calling a Hispanic a wetback was sometime, apparently in the 90s that was okay. They liked it then and they don't like it now. Don Young, he's my favorite. And then, of course, bringing up the rear is Glenn Beck. Bringing up the rear, I said, I think. It says, ethics investigations into Bachman presidential campaign is due to Muslim infiltration of segments of the U.S. government. She's being investigated because she misspent her campaign funds. That's not even a secret. But apparently, according to Glenn Beck, it's because Muslims are in the government. And then, of course, Bachman's response was to go to CPAC and say Obamacare will literally kill women and children. Dana Bash from CNN chased her down to say, well, give us some specifics. She said that would kill women, literally kill them. Bachman ran down the hall to a room that was off limits to press and media.
All right.
So
what's your summation?
But that it's, I think Priebus is right, that why would you give up your, if you're going to give up your values, then don't be a Republican, right? I mean, you may not agree with a conservative. If you're not a conservative, you're not going to agree with it. But they're not going to win elections by giving up their values. But they certainly can't go around talking all people wetbacks.
Well,
and you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, well,
you're not going to, if the goal right now and the millions of dollars he said we've committed to spend to reach out to minorities, he's pissing it away by guys calling them wetbacks. I mean, you're just not going to, you know what I'm saying? You're not.
I do know what you're saying, but here's my response to that. It doesn't have anything to do with what these people are saying other than the fact that they get overreported in the media for
that's,
saying
dude,
these
you know
kind of
how
things.
Far I had to dig to find that quote on wetbacks?
No, you didn't have to dig because I saw it in the news as well. It
overreported,
was right
I heard
there.
It like one time.
It was right out there. Because right here on my phone, while you were talking...
You're barking up a tree on that.
No, I'm not. Because, let me see. Let's talk about...
Overreported? I mean, how many times did you see it on the news? How many times did you... Did it even last for 20 minutes?
Here's what I'm saying. That doesn't matter when it comes to how the Republican Party is portrayed. Because there's Democratic candidates that say things equally as stupid. Okay, Howard Dean, let's say, here's one of the things he said. You think the Republican National Committee could get this many people of color in a single room? Only if they had their hotel staff in there. Here's my point. People are going to say dumb things all the time. And it's not about... whether or not they say dumb things. I mean, first of all, no. Glenn Beck and Michelle Bachman, they're not a consideration.
But you're not the conservative party, my friend. You're one member of it.
Not a member of any party.
Well, but I mean, you're a conservative. I mean, he speaks for conservatives,
and
whether you like it or not.
And I know that or not.
Okay, but my point was, you missed the whole point there. The point was, literally weeks after Priebus said, folks, and let's face it, with Mitt Romney deciding that he doesn't really want to be the leader of the Republican Party, and traditionally the presidential candidate from the prior election becomes the leader of the party, Rice Priebus, as the head of the RNC, is the leader of the Republican Party. And he's saying, folks, you got
to
stop saying stupid things about
and really,
minorities.
All
and
is,
all that we did was, for the last week, is hear people say stupid things
and really,
about minorities.
All he needs to do is do what he's supposed to do, which is raise money and find a legitimate candidate to promote as the new face
of
the Republican Party.
I would agree
party.
With that, but he didn't do that.
That's what's going to resurge the Republican Party. I mean, if we're just going to talk about their image based on stupid things they say, I've got a phone full of them, friend.
But again, you're overly sensitive. I'm not saying it has
not
anything to do with their
sensitive.
Image. I just think it's funny. Yes, you are, because you're going berserk in that whole segment trying to find something on the phone about Democrats. All I'm saying is it's just funny that he just said this, and within weeks, major Republicans and conservatives are out there doing exactly opposite of what we said. Hey, we're getting ready to spend $10 million on outreach, and I just think it's funny. It's funny.
Well, it might be funny, but my point is
that's
is
my
that
point, period,
you're not,
dot
you're end. You're not going to change the face of the Republican Party by controlling what people say. That's what I'm
saying.
Well,
let me tell you what, my friend. If you can't keep guys from calling Hispanics wetbacks, then you shouldn't spend that kind of money on an initiative to reach out to Hispanics. Do you think
Robert Byrd, Howard Dean, even Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden,
but
they're saying
again, but they didn't stand up and say,
things.
We are going to spend $10 billion to reach out to Hispanics and then call them wetbacks. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, they didn't announce this huge initiative. The Conservative Party did. Whether you like it or not, they did. And now they said, we're going to drop $10 million on an outreach program to minorities. And then they spent 3 weeks insulting minorities.
I don't think it's the way to go. I think they need to find viable
candidates.
Well,
I agree, but that's
them.
Not the issue. The issue is they're doing it, and then their boys are out there calling them wetbacks, and that they want to sleep with animals.
And Reince Priebus is not going to control what Glenn Beck says.
Reince Priebus shouldn't have a job.
Ben Carson or anybody
He shouldn't
else.
Have a job.
Well, he's a good fundraiser. He raises a lot
that's,
of money.
And that's it. But his record as the RNC is horrible. Michael Steele crushed the Democrats in 2010, and he got fired because he couldn't deal with the money. Priebus got his ass kicked in every state, including the White House, and yet he's still employed. I agree. He shouldn't have said those things. He should not
Michael
be the president.
Yeah, Michael Steele, who Steny Hoyer said he has a career of slavishly supporting the Republican Party. It was, if you know Michael Steele, he was a black man.
Yeah.
So.
But Steny, yeah. Supporting the Republican Party. Michael Steele's a Republican.
Slavishly reporting the Republican Party.
Yeah, but again, not the issue. Your oversensitivity
is
reaching
here. That's a racist
thing
to say.
It absolutely is. And Steny Hoyer's a racist. I got no issue with that. But Steny Hoyer didn't stand up in there and say, I love black people. Because they all used to pick my corn.
If they're going to recreate the Republican Party, I mean, I agree with you. He's going at it the wrong way. That's my point.
And he's not getting help, is my other point. Like, they're not helping him. I don't care if
nobody's going to help him. He has to find the right candidates to promote. They're not going to help him. Why would they help him?
Well, because if they want to get back in, you know, like, they're struggling to maintain
the
power.
The Republican National Committee has a certain role, and that's the only role that they play.
They're going to have to do something, bro, because the future don't look bright. You know what I mean? My father is a conservative like you. Way hypersensitive, more so than you are, and he
I'm
even said you are, dude. You are. I mean, you're schoolgirl hypersensitive.
I'm not going to use any profanity.
Even he said that the Republican Party is going to be relegated to state level if they don't do something as a group.
I don't believe that. I believe it can be turned around as quick as anything by finding the right candidates to promote. That's really what it comes down to me. Finding a Marco Rubio, finding a Bobby Jindal,
that's
going to become the face of the party. Okay, that's what's going
to
matter.
Bobby Jindal that's who I think will be the guy to pull them out of this. He said the exact same thing at CPAC. He said, you've got to stop saying stupid things. Because, take our the most famous of them, this Aiken character in Missouri. Claire McCaskill is probably the worst senator in the history of the Democratic Party. And that's probably overstating it. You could have beaten her.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, yeah.
I got some
skeletons. But that seat should be a Republican seat. But because a dude shot his mouth off it like an idiot about rape, they lost that seat. And that's the only reason. And then he wouldn't step down. They could have replaced him with the freaking janitor and he would have beaten her. And that's what Jindal's saying. You got to stop doing stupid things. We'll never climb out of the mud if we don't stop doing stupid things. Like saying, we're going to reach out to Hispanics. And I love them guys. All them wetbacks worked on my daddy's farm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got to just stop saying stupid things.
But that's one guy. And one guy in the Democratic Party says all kinds of stupid things all the time.
I read a list that I could go on for an hour.
Well, I mean, you could find those kind of things that Democrats say for an hour.
Oh, sure, you could. You absolutely could. And for some reason, they don't have a problem with minorities.
I wonder why that is.
Well, probably because of the treatment that minorities have received in policy.
Nah, I don't think so.
Oh, absolutely. If you want to get rid of,
you know,
because think about what happens
that you get a handout from, then we could talk about that.
Well, right, and there's my point, right? Immediately, if the handouts come in, it's got to be a minority. Well, why would they want to go? Why would they want to deal with a party who believes that everyone who gets a handout is a black or a Hispanic? I mean, why would they want to be part of that party? It just doesn't make sense.
I don't think they believe that. I think they're portrayed as believing that.
Well, their vote speaks a lot louder than what you believe they're portrayed as. And they vote Democrat. And Democrats say just as stupid shit, just like you just said. I'm not defending that or disagreeing. They do it. The question is, why are they voting the other way?
That's a good question. That's a good question. And
my friend, is some hardcore freaking politics.
Yeah, that's some hardcore politics. All right.
I love them wetbacks. To pick my daddy's corn.
All right, are we done with the wetback talk?
I will be following that guy's re-election campaign because it's going to be a classic.
All right, let's go to what's your pick, Francis.
Oh, all right. I need my glasses for this.
All right. Stand by. All right, what's your pick, Francis? Starting out with Facebook versus Twitter.
This is easy, dude. Twitter all day long. I mean, are you not... Well, First of all, I'm going to call you out for your little Facebook faux pas there. You used to call people out all the time for putting their pictures of their dinner. And there you are, snapping pictures of your dinner.
That was a year and a half ago.
Yeah, you know.
I did post a picture of my
internet
dinner.
Internet is forever. Aren't you the one who always says that?
That's
Twitter.
Right.
I'm Twitter all day long. Dude. Facebook I use to publicize the blog and send pictures to my family in Jersey of the kids. That's about
Twitter's
it.
Where it's at for me.
For me too, yeah.
Yeah, professionally, personally, I like the Twitter. I don't like what Facebook has become in some ways. It's starting to become too commercial. A lot of the things posted on there, people are sharing things rather than posting things that are personal that I care to read.
Yeah.
Of course, some of the personal things I really don't care to read. But
like the succotash they had for dinner.
Twitter all day long. Okay, here's another one. And you beat me to the golf reference. It's becoming a, unfiltered, unfettered tradition to have a golf reference. Tebowing versus Duffnering. And now let's explain Duffnering for our listeners that may not understand this.
So Jason Duffner is a golfer on the PGA Tour. You want to talk about everyman. This dude is everyman. You could trip over him coming out of your local bar just as soon as you could bump into him on the PGA Tour. A little rotund, not John Daly big, not, you know.
Soft.
He's soft. That's what we would call soft. That's a good, yeah. He's not a hard 230. He's a soft 230. And so Duffnering is, he did a commercial. I forget what a company it was for. It was something about internet speed or something. And he's sitting up against a little stone wall on a course.
He was visiting a school, I thought, right? And he was sitting up against this wall, and they took a picture of him.
Yeah.
He kind of had his feet splayed, and he...
Yeah, I mean, he's sitting there like he's drunk,
stupid
right?
Stupid look on his face.
Yeah, but and he also did it in this commercial that he did for the internet.
He did that after. Then all the golfers started taking pictures
of people Duffnering, right?
Duffnering.
Sitting against the wall with their feet out, their legs straight out, and their belly kind of protruding a little bit. And he, I don't know if you follow him on Twitter. He's a great follow. I don't follow sports guys because they're mostly jackasses for the most part. But this, like, he retweets every one of those. Like, if you send him a Duffnering picture, no matter who you are, he'll send it back out. And it's really become pretty hot for the moment. As all things
typical
are
golf meme of a guy looking like a
Joe Schmo,
bag of dirt.
Just laying sitting down.
You know, I've T-bowed and I've posted it on Facebook. By the way,
I'm ashamed of you. Let me just say that right now.
I T-bowed with my sons, and I posted on Facebook. I'm going with T-bowing.
You? Oh my gosh!
Yes.
Oh,
I'm not
no.
going with Duffnering,
dude. You're Duffnering right now. No, I'm Duffnering all day long.
You're a natural Duffner.
I am, dude. I have the gut for Duffnering.
We might have to get pictures of this and put it on the blog. Okay, man, we're 1-1, and we agreed on Twitter. And you went with the golf meme.
There's a shock.
Okay, iPhone or Android?
Well,
where are you at, Fran?
Let me show you my iPhone, and I'll tell you where I'm at.
Yeah,
dude, the thing is, like, I'll admit it. I'm like one of them jerkweeds who has it all the time because it literally does everything. I mean, don't know how I got along without it. I'm iPhone.
Yeah, they've got some nice Android products coming out now, some nice Samsungs and things like that, but I mean, I'm all about the iPhone myself.
Of course, so you can hear our podcast on Android and iPhone.
Yes, you can. You can download it on any of your devices. We make that available for our friends. And might I say, Fran,
no cost to you.
We have committed in off the podcast conversations to keeping our huge, unfiltered, unfettered podcast completely free.
That's right.
Of course, until we learn how to make a buck off
of it. That's right. The minute we can squeeze some nickels out of it, that's right.
Okay, our last What's Your Pick? And this should be good fun. Mark Sanford or Stephen Colbert's sister, who's in the Senate.
She's in the Senate race in South Carolina. So Stephen Colbert, of course, is a comedian on the Comedy Central, The Colbert Show. He plays a conservative on the show, a raging conservative. And but his sister is an actual politician. And she is Elizabeth Colbert Bush. Not of the Bush family, of the Bush dynasty.
No,
but
spelled B-U-S-C-H.
Right. And she won the Democratic primary, the special runoff. This is to fill the dude, good Lord, who's the guy who just left for the think tank? The big-time conservative from South Carolina.
Jim DeMint,
right. Wow, I'm freezing up. So there was a runoff election, and she won the Democratic primary. And, of course, our boy Mark Sanford of the Appalachian Trail mistress fame has won the Republican primary. And so they're going to go head-to-head. So this ought to be pretty good. Now, the little backstory here is that Stephen Colbert actually filed and got on the ballot for president in 2000.
Right. He's done some
2008
crazy stuff.
In South Carolina only. He runs only in one state. That's his platform. He's a one-state president. And He didn't get on this time. He didn't raise enough money. But he has a super PAC now. And he's raised like millions of dollars.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. That ought to be good
he's
fun.
He's actually gotten some stuff named after him and some crazy
oh, yeah.
things like
okay.
that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everything from Canadian hockey teams named their mascots right. after him. I mean, he's made it into Wikipedia. Or not
so
Wikipedia.
So I'm guessing
you're
going with Colbert's sister.
Colbert's sister, yeah. He's an Urban Dictionary. He's all over the place.
You know what, Francis? I believe America's a land of second opportunities.
Yeah, here we go.
I believe that in America, we always get a second chance. And
oh, I agree with that. Hey,
I'm going with Sanford.
Hey, if Marion Barry could be the mayor of Washington like 9 times running from prison, then everyone gets a second chance.
I'm going with Sanford. So we I think we disagreed more than we agreed. We're two for two.
Yeah, two for two. That's
two
a first.
Two for two tonight. Okay, yes, it certainly is. All right.
To the big board.
Time to go to the big board. And we do have our big board graphic up.
We do. It's going to have to be updated after tonight.
Yeah, and so here we go.
It's
who's
time.
On the big board,
it's
Francis?
Time to put
it's
her on.
It's time to put the big dog on.
Hill Dog is on. Hillary Rodham Clinton, or HRC, Hill Dog. She answers any of those. Born in 47. She's 65 years old. Hails from Chicago. Of course, married to Bill. I'm sure you all know him. One kid. Everyone knows her,
who
too.
Who did grow out of her awkward stage. And yeah, it's not.
Yeah, she's NBC.
She's not an unattractive young lady. She's,
analyst,
yeah, she's
reporter.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know what you'd call
something
her.
Something like that.
Of course, Hill Dog's got a pretty big resume when it comes to education.
And quite thick ankles
she's
as
got
well.
Some, she's got some cankers. Thick. Yeah, cankles. Wellesley College, Yale Law School. She was a former Republican. I don't know if you knew that. 1967, yeah. She switched parties to the Democratic Party.
Bigger
she's pay, on there now. Look,
bigger payout.
Probably, yeah. Look, and I would say that also coincides with her move through the educational system. I would think as well. When she got through Yale, probably when she switched parties. It's time to put her on there. She could say whatever she wants. The places she's going, the speeches she's making.
She's making her own.
The issues that she's commenting on. These are the building blocks of a presidential campaign. She's going for it. You know, the only thing I can say about it is Rush Limbaugh may be right in this case, and this is going to be a test of the American public on this. Is America ready to see a woman age in office? Now, look, whether you like Barack Obama or not, he was a young, good-looking dude when he became president.
Yeah, you can see it
happening. He looks horrible.
Yeah.
You can see the age, and he's only been in 4.5 years. He's got 3.5 to go. He's going to look like, I mean, who knows what.
It now, takes its toll. It definitely does.
And she's already 65. This dude was 47 when he became president.
Right.
And he looks like he's 80. So,
she's already 65 and not a real looker in that department.
Right,
anyways.
And she'll be 69 when that election rolls around. So if she becomes president, Limbaugh, and of course Limbaugh, look, he's a jerk. He's a big mouth. He's a rich big mouth. Got
yeah,
a good golf
is.
Swing.
Yeah.
But he may be onto something here. The aging of a woman in as a president, that might be tough to watch. Who knows? But as far as being president, I think she's extremely qualified. Let me tell you, if she was in the race this past time, she would have mopped up everybody.
Yeah. All right, Francis. So Hillary Rodham Clinton will be on the big board as soon as we get to it. Let's go to a couple of our favorite tweets. I'm going to start off with one from Nancy at Celtic Norris. Nancy at Celtic Norris, who said, Kim Jong-un, first guy leading a country with a big trigger who grew up playing video games. # those implications are problematic.
here we go. Well, you've got another one there, I think.
Well,
from,
I have another one.
From a special listener.
Let's just bust it out. Chat Premier producer, who happens to be my son, music producer in Chattanooga, produces hip-hop music, who had complained to me that we had not read any of his tweets on the podcast, and I had told him, I'm not reading any of your I'm working in the studio tweets. Hey, I'm trying to get my tweet broadcasted on Unfiltered, Unfettered Podcast.
Call us out on social media. How do you like that?
There's a shout out to my boy, Josh.
And let me tell you something, Josh. I don't care what you say. The Colonel always dusts off Captain Crunch. Always.
Yeah.
He will eat his lunch. Trust me on that.
Captain Crunch over the Colonel. I'll say that. But there's a shout out, Josh. Love you, buddy. I'm my number one son.
All right, so I've got two here. One of our former comrades in arms. He's still in the military. His wife is a power lifter, a national power lifter.
Yep.
And the U.S. Air Force Times picked up the story about her.
Yeah, that's a cool deal.
They interviewed him. So and his I follow U.S. Air Force's Twitter feed, and all of a sudden this pops up. And it's a quote. My wife is currently the number 3 rated woman power lifter for her weight. class in the nation. That quote's from Senior Master Sergeant Andrew Traugott.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, whoa, that Air Force Times, that's big.
That's very cool.
The military
deal.
Publications, that's a big deal.
Sure.
So, Andy, appreciate you, buddy, and glad to do a shout-out for you. The other one, where is it here? This one's a little nondescript. I don't know if people will get this or not. But in the Christian church, there is a slight minor skirmish between homeschoolers and public schoolers. And this, I follow Church Curmudgeon. He's a pretty funny Twitter feed, and here's his tweet about that. Youth group at 7 o'clock meets in the youth room. Homeschool separatists practice in the sanctuary. Now, again, if you don't know what the battle is there, that might not be funny. But for those of you who understand that, that's pretty funny.
All right, so those are our tweets of the week. And we'll bring our sixth episode to a close.
Yeah.
Again, hey, if you're listening to us on iTunes, go out there, give us a rating. Give us some feedback. Give us a review. Click on the podcast if you like it. That matters in how we're climbing up the ladder there. So we appreciate you following us on iTunes, following the blog, Podhoster. I think last time I said podcaster. I always listen to the podcast and think about how many things I've said wrong. It's podhoster.com, but we have that posted to the blog on the About
The email's
section.
On there several times. The unmail.
Yes, it is. So thanks for the listen. Francis, been a big podcast.
Yeah, it was a good one. Good little debate.
Been a lot of fun, and we will see you all again in 2 weeks. Emily, please take us out.
Tony and Fran, you did it again. Thank you for getting unfiltered and unfettered.